Welcome back to the Bengals Beat podcast. Well, things have changed a little bit here at the Cincinnati Inquirer. In case you missed it, I am Kelsey Conway. I am the Bengals Beat reporter. And before I introduce my co-host, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I am super excited to be back in Cincinnati. I went to UC, proud Bearcat, played lacrosse there, have been covering the Atlanta Falcons for the last 6 years, a year before that, the Baltimore Ravens. So am familiar and excited to be back in the AFC North, and I'm super excited to be on this beat. And Charlie and I have some major plans for this podcast, and we hope you'll stick with us as we kind of get things launched here, but you'll be hearing from us right after the game. We'll break down everything you need to know about the Bengals game, whether they win, lose, or tie. And we'll also be getting you set with the best coverage you can get in terms of how you can get ready for the Bengals upcoming game later in the week. So Charlie, take it away from here, but just wanted to let you guys in on some of our plans that we're really excited about.
I would like to welcome you, Kelsey.
Thanks.
It's exciting to have you here. Seriously. And the Bengals Beat podcast is, to me, always dating back to 2015, been a place for great Bengals conversation. We've already had some great Bengals conversations. I'm excited to bring that to the air. And hey, we're just in time.
Mm-hmm. And we will like for you guys to give us your feedback. Charlie and I are both super active on social media. So tweet us, hit us up on Instagram, whatever you want to hear in this podcast. We do this for you Bengals fans. So anything you want, we are happy to try and get in here. Things are interesting with the Bengals right now. They're heading into their third preseason game, which Zach Taylor said they're going to treat this week as a mock game week, which I found interesting because obviously the NFL shortened the preseason from 4 games to 3 games. So most NFL teams are treating this one as the dress rehearsal per se. So with the Bengals, not that the games matter, of course, but 1-1 on preseason, we've seen a lot of good things, and we've seen a lot of not concerning things, but let's just say interesting things. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered in terms of starters, how Ja'Marr Chase is progressing, and we will get into all of it. So let's just talk about right now, Charlie, 2 games in, what are your biggest takeaways about the Cincinnati Bengals? Let's start with the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm sure we'll get to some of the injuries the Bengals are dealing with as well. But the most interesting thing in Bengals training camp is what I expected it would be, and that's the offensive guard battle. We are still looking for clarity. We are still looking for 2 starters, and we're still looking for answers to questions like, how much of a jump forward has Michael Jordan taken? How legitimate are the flashes that rookie Deontay Smith has shown in practice? What I expect, and the way things are looking, is that they're going with the vets. Xavier Suofilo at right and Quentin Spain at left. I think they both still have a lot to prove with their ability to, say, block out in screens in space, with their ability to be on the same page of the cadence with Joe Burrow, with their ability to hold up over a 16-game season after they've both had their playing time fluctuated over the course of their careers. And then behind them, what does the active 8 look like on game day? There is so much unsettled at offensive guard. I'm not sure that we've gained a ton more in terms of confident answers, but probably some new questions have been raised.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You brought that up first. I actually mentioned it today on the radio. I asked Zach Taylor following the game against the Washington football team what was behind the decision to start Xavier Suofilo in that game when he started Michael Jordan the game prior. And he just basically said, look, we don't have starting guards. So I was like, okay, I think that answers questions without you having to really say a lot, which I think shows, you know, what you're talking about, Charlie. I think they're really still going to take this thing to the wire, and this game is going to be important into them being able to establish that. But for the most part, on the offensive line, I think Bengals fans should be encouraged of just how much having Frank Pollock back has apparently played a big role in what these guys have been able to do during training camp. And just the short time that I've been on the beat, I've heard a lot about just how much of an impact he's made in being back with Zach Taylor's group. Obviously, you know more about what he was as a coach when you were covering this team a couple of years ago. But I think that's one thing that a lot of people say, he's a stickler for a technician. And, you know, in order for the Bengals offensive line to be better, that's certainly going to be a bigger part. Other things on offense, what are you seeing in terms of what we'll get into Jamar Chase to wrap up the offensive side of the ball, but from the running back standpoint, have you been surprised by anybody as taking that number two spot behind Mixon, of course?
I was more surprised by the criteria, to quote Isaiah Thomas, the criteria to be selected for the number two running back. I don't think that Samaje Perine has even been in doubt of losing that backup running back spot at any point in training camp. And here's why. What the Bengals want from their backup running back is a pass protector. Sure, Samaje Perine can be physical through the line of scrimmage. Sure, he can, you know, he adds an element on short, simpler passing plays. But what the Bengals like most about him is his skill and his intelligence as a pass protector. He's a guy who's done that on punt return unit or punt units before, and now they're having him play a similar role, which then on the flip side unlocks Joe Mixon to be the running back on field. And first downs and second downs, I'm not expecting as much playing time for Chris Evans despite the moments he has flashed, because Mixon's going to get those run situations. And my projection is that Piron, because he can really protect Joe Burrow, will get those passing situations.
Mm-hmm. But at that same point, I did ask Joe Burrow about the growth he's seen Joe Mixon make as a pass catcher. And we'll let Jason Hoffman get to it later in terms of maybe some projections. But if you're a fantasy football player, I would buy stock in Joe Mixon in terms of him being able to be more of a impact player in the passing game for the Bengals. That's not his primary role, but Joe Burrow did say Mixon's taking it very seriously, and it's something that they're definitely going to need to use. So with the offense, we'll wrap it up by talking about the biggest storyline coming out of Bengals camp over the last 2 weeks, and that is Jamar Chase and the drops he's been having. Obviously, it's been well documented that he's struggled in practice at times with some drops, and then he goes out on three different third down situations against the Washington football team and drops the ball, two of them hitting him right in the hand. The first one, you could argue, was a little bit behind him. But there's no denying that that is the main storyline regarding this team, in addition to Joe Burrow's health, of course. Zach Taylor saying after the game, "I expect our receivers to catch the ball." He hasn't once showed any doubt about Jamar. And, you know, when you look at it, I don't really think it's as big of a deal. It's definitely noteworthy, but I don't think we've reached a level of concern because of what we'll get into here. But Jamar had a great day at practice yesterday. He caught every single pass, and he even made a great contested catch to end practice. And it really seems like a mental thing. And Tyler Boyd talked about that yesterday. He said it is mental at this point for Jamar. And I think that if he can continue to stack a couple of days of practice and has a good performance on Sunday, I think he'll be able to kind of put this out of his system. So I'm not panicked yet. What about you?
I think Jamar Chase is already ahead of where most rookie wide receivers are, even top 10 picks. I think part of the reason there's such a strong reaction to Jamar is because there's such a natural comparison to make between him and AJ Green. He's literally replacing AJ Green. But just look at the other receivers on the Bengals roster. Tyler Boyd took 2 years to get a prominent role in the offense. T. Higgins, John Ross was playing over him at the start of last season. Now, obviously, Chase is a first-round pick, but almost no first-round picks are dropped into an offense and immediately are number one receivers. That may have been the expectation, but honestly, that expectation wasn't realistic. Chase is still very much ahead of Auden Tate on the depth chart, on the pecking order in Joe Burrow's eyes, and with the overall role in the offense. Jamar Chase is already a starter. How many rookies, even top five picks who are skill position players, get automatically put into such a big role? The way Zach Taylor views it is there's no wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Ja'Marr Chase, even though he's not already one of the top 15 wide receivers in the NFL, still can do the things the Bengals were looking for him to do when they drafted him with the fifth pick, creating yards after catch, making plays with the ball in his hands. That's not changing, and his snaps aren't going away. And until that happens, you don't sound the panic alarm yet.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note, and I've reported this a couple of different times over the last 2 days, I would be more panicked if he wasn't deemed as one of the hardest workers on the team. You talk to anyone in the Bengals locker room, on the coaching staff, one of the first things they say is just how hard Ja'Marr works. And during practice, when it's been the special teams portions of practice, he has been the only wide receiver on the side field with the quarterbacks when they go off and run through some things while the team goes through special teams. He's been the only wide receiver over there just catching more and more passes. And following, I think it was Sunday's practice, he was one of three players as the last ones to leave the field, just staying after to get more catches. So I think he's made of the right stuff, and he's going to get this right. But the reason it's so noteworthy is because the expectations for him are just so high, and rightfully so. I mean, you saw what he did at LSU, and you immediately think he's back with Joe Burrow. It should just be perfect. But, you know, it's every rookie and every wide receiver goes through a period of time in which they experience the drops. Tyler Boyd said it. Higgins said it. It's just a matter of getting in front of it before it becomes to, you know, start to spiral out of control. And I think that's what they're trying to make sure doesn't happen with Ja'Marr.
Ja'Marr Chase doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I know that was an expectation and that was a goal Ja'Marr Chase set on draft night. He wanted to break every record in the book. But the fact of the matter is that I'm willing to bet on T. Higgins as one of the top two-tier receivers in the NFL, growing into that as soon as this year or in the next year or two. I'm willing to bet on Tyler Boyd continuing to build on the production that he's just consistently had in the Bengals scheme with Zach Taylor. And then Ja'Marr Chase just has to complement that.
Yeah.
And for a team that runs as much 11 personnel as the Bengals do, that was just missing one last piece of it. The piece that Ja'Marr Chase fills with his strengths. He doesn't have to be a contested catch monster or a, you know, sticky hands in the middle of the field. The Bengals have those guys in T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Ja'Marr Chase just has to bring a new element to unlock the last piece of the Bengals offense, specifically the quick game, which is going to be especially big with Joe Burrow, considering the offensive line. And I still believe that Ja'Marr Chase can make plays consistently with the ball in his hands and add that element to the offense.
Yeah, it's definitely, let's temper our expectations, but it'd be one thing if the Bengals didn't have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, but I think regardless of what they get from Ja'Marr, it's just an added benefit because the Bengals are pretty stacked at wide receiver. So let's switch to the defensive side of the ball. Biggest question and biggest storyline, I would say right now, is who is going to replace the production the Bengals were hoping to get from Joseph Osai? Obviously, the news coming out this weekend that it's reported he has a knee injury. He left the Bengals' first preseason game with a wrist injury, and it was reported that while he was getting his wrist injury checked out, he also hurt his knee in that game, and he had his knee checked out, and they found a meniscus injury. Of course, this has not yet been confirmed by Zach Taylor. This is all just speculation. But if the Bengals are not able to have Osai at any point during this season, who is going to step up in his production? And I think they have some viable options, but I thought, Charlie, what you wrote earlier this week about how Lou Anarumo can get creative with safety blitzes and being able to replace his production, you know, in unique ways is something that I think would be interesting to dive in a little bit about right here.
Yeah, there's no one-on-one replacement. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I went back and looked back at what Lou Anarumo said right after the Bengals drafted Osai. Remember, he was a projected high to middle mm-hmm. second round pick who slid because there was such a run on offensive linemen and wide receivers. When the Bengals drafted Osai, Anarumo said, one, he was surprised he was still there. And two, Anarumo said he fills the defense's biggest need right now. I think that Joseph Osai is one of the 10 to 12 hardest players to replace on the Bengals defense. Maybe even a little higher. While he's not one of the starters on the defensive line, and while the Bengals' depth in the secondary is the strength of the unit, they don't have another guy who you can put on the edge consistently opposite Trey Hendrickson and just say, pin your ears back and go. So what do the Bengals do now? I narrowed it down to five options. Four of the options are a new guy. There's Khalid Kareem, who held that role last year, didn't consistently pressure the quarterback, and has been limited in the preseason. Well, how much of a step forward has he been able to take this year? We're about to get those answers because, well, we haven't seen him practice yet. Practice until early this week. Two, Noah Spence. The Bengals just added him. He was very productive as an edge rusher in college. That was like 5-6 years ago. Hasn't had a track record of success in the NFL. Three, Darius Hodge, who might be my favorite of these options right now, just because he has so much speed. You just put him on the field in a third down, wind him up, and let him go. I'm very curious to see how he looks against ones. That might be the right answer, and it might be Hodge's ticket to a roster spot. Four is doing that with Cam Sample, who had been on the field for third downs, but you might have to move him from inside to outside. And then five is giving Sam Hubbard more pass rush responsibilities. No one in these roles has been proven yet or even had a flash game in that role like Osai had in the preseason. So it's definitely the most interesting thing to watch heading into the game against Miami.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's about as good of a summary as you can get in terms of who's going to replace that production. That's some thorough research by Charlie right there. I haven't seen Korean play a whole lot. The Spence thing is interesting because Tampa, it didn't go well in Tampa. And then it also, I mean, unfortunately for him, he got injured in New Orleans, but then, you know, he had a second stint with them and they released him. So he just kind of hasn't lived up to his expectations. And sometimes that happens with pass rushers. But I think the one that I'm really betting on is Darius Hodge. He's been a fun one to cover this preseason, and just listening to him talk following the Washington football team game, he's just one of those guys that's just, I think he's going to outwork everyone just because he's just almost happy to be here. And I'm not saying that he doesn't think that he deserves to be there, but when you listen to him explain how he was able to go from linebacker to defensive line, I think he's just the type of guy that's, whatever you need me to do, coach, I'm there. And fortunately for him, he's got the physical skill set that's allowed him to do that. But he is certainly one that I would keep my eye on because he's had a great preseason and he just kind of seems to be made up of the right stuff. But on the other side, you just talked about the depth, the secondary. I think before we, you know, close out the defensive talk here, I think if you were to ask me on defense, what's been the biggest takeaway of covering this team for the last 2 weeks? They are getting their hands on the ball. Von Bell has had a number of interceptions. Chido Awuzie has been the Bengals' best player in training camp, in my opinion. And I know you can talk a little bit more on that because you've been able to cover practice a little bit more than I have. But they look good in the secondary. And I think a good secondary covers up a lot of what you don't have on the defensive line. So if it's a case that the Bengals still don't feel like they're getting the pass rush that they need, a good secondary can help in that regard. And I think the Bengals, they look good in the secondary.
The secondary was their biggest priority in the offseason. Even though they spent a ton of money to add Trey Waynes in 2020, what they did in 2021 on defense was they put their most chips into the secondary. Aside from Trey Hendrickson, basically the splashes they made were Allen and Awuzie and Mike Hilton, Eli Apple. They prioritized depth after that being their biggest weakness last season. They didn't go out and make this huge impact addition, say, at linebacker. They got Larry Ogunjobi, who was very much an undervalued free agent, instead of going out and getting one of the premier three-technique defensive tackles on the board. So, again, this is the strength of the defense we're seeing. But also, that's the way it was built. You know, it would be a completely different conversation and a much more critical conversation if the secondary wasn't having a training camp like this. Because the way they built their roster, they are banking on this being the strength of the defense. Andrew Rumo is a cornerbacks, defensive backs guy. And, well, that is living up to the investment and the expectation so far.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just get right into it in terms of this preseason game, since we've gone through the offense and defense, about who needs to impress in this preseason game, as this is the last chance these guys have to put on tape, not just for the Bengals, but it's their audition for the other 31 teams in the NFL, because they all, every coach and general manager can get copy of these games. So these guys are really going to have to put it out there for their last chance. So for you, Who, if you had to narrow it down to one to two players, who do you think needs to impress the most in this third preseason game?
I'll go with two positions. First is right guard. I really do wonder if Xavier Suofilo is not established as the starter, what happens next after that? Because then when you're talking about who's active on game day, there's a certain level of flexibility you need. And Suofilo, if he's going to make the roster, you might think has to be as the starting right guard. So does he show an added level of explosiveness and physicality in his last preseason game? And then the other one is that defensive end and edge rusher. You know, we just talked about this, but I don't have a good feel on where Khalid Kareem's burst is at right now off the edge. And I've only seen for a few snaps Darius Hodge as a first-team edge rusher, again, for just a couple snaps against Washington. So those are the two biggest roles I still see ongoing battles at. And I do legitimately think what happens on Sunday is going to be a big difference in potentially who makes the team, but at least who plays big roles week one.
I agree with all of those, and you'll learn this about me, Charlie. I'm going to pick two players on the offensive side of the ball, and you'll learn. I love offense.
I can talk offense all day.
So, you know, obviously defense wins championships, they do say, but I could talk offense all day, which is great because the Bengals sure look like they could have the makings for a good one. So I think for me at this point, this game, two players that I'm really interested to watch is Deontay Smith, because first of all, I don't think that there's been a player that I've heard people talking about more in terms of they're surprised at how well this person has played, as I've heard about Deontay Smith, and that's talking to the other beat reporters, a couple of the coaches so far, and he wasn't able to play against the Washington football team. That was the first game I worked for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and I am really interested to see if he is expected to play. Obviously, he was only out for a hydration issue. But I really want to see what he's all about, because it sure seems like he's made a case for himself. If the Bengals are unhappy with Suofilo or Jordan at any point in the first couple of weeks of the season, if they feel confident in what Deontay Smith showed them in the preseason games, I wouldn't put it past them to start a rookie. And to be honest, I think that they said, Trey Hopkins said he didn't care if it's a rookie playing next to him. As long as they're so confident in what Frank Pollock knows about offensive linemen, that if he and Zach Taylor decide this is who we're going to start, I don't think anybody's going to question that. So I'm really interested to watch him in this third preseason game. And then, the other one for me is Trent Irwin. He's been the Bengals leader in receptions for every preseason game so far, but I just wonder how the rest of that receiver room is going to shake out. Those are always one of the most interesting, position battles that I find every year, no matter what team it is, when you're talking about who's going to make the 53-man roster. So those are the two that I'm going to be focused on. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with those.
I have a quick theory.
Okay.
I think that
hit me.
Deontay Smith and Darius Hodge are like literally having the exact same training camp. Smith was a fourth-round pick. Hodge was undrafted. But both were not expected to be contributors on the 2021 Bengals. Both switched positions to a position they really hadn't played in the entire life. Both flashed right away, stepped up into a bigger opportunity because of injury, and then now could be competing for very big spots for the first game of the season.
Well, I was going to ask you your bold prediction for the Bengals 53-man roster, but you just made it, right?
Darius Hodge.
Is there anybody else on the offensive side of the ball you got a prediction on?
You know, I think you said it, but it's not even a bold prediction anymore, saying that Trenton Irwin looks like he's going to make the 53-man roster. 2 weeks ago, that would have been an extremely bold prediction. Trent Taylor was one of the guys who was a talk of camp during early 7-on-7 stages of training camp. Trent Irwin really bided his time on the practice squad for multiple seasons, but in an offense that really values ball security from their slot receivers and contested catchability from their slot receivers, man, Irwin's just shown that time and time again. It's hard to see him not making this team at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree with those. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this third preseason game. As I talked about, I'll be interested to see how long the starters play. They played well into the first quarter in the second game. So we'll see how long Zach Taylor plays. And we'll also see if Zach Taylor decides to play Joe Burrow. That's one of the biggest questions this week. Is Burrow going to get any preseason time? And we haven't heard one way or the other from Zach Taylor yet at this point. But I got to say, after watching what happened to AJ McCarron and his knee injury, my personal opinion, I don't think Joe Burrow needs to play in the preseason. And I think he's shown enough in practice. Actually, yesterday he made a play where he stepped up in the pocket and he hit T. Higgins about like 40 yards down the field. And it was so impressive that it just kind of, to me, said, this guy, I don't think you need to worry about him needing a couple snaps in the preseason. But we'll see if they decide to do that. But that's one of the biggest questions. I don't know. What do you think? Are you in the don't play him or play him camp?
Joe Burrow wants to play. And if they play him, I'll totally get it. My take has been twofold. One, like, the reason you would play Joe Burrow is because you would say if you don't play him in the preseason, he won't have the confidence he needs week one. And I'm just going to bet on Joe Burrow being confident in whatever situation
yeah,
he's in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then two is I would want to see one more game where the offensive line gets smoothed out to where you have your five and you're able to really spend all your attention in the Miami game on gelling that unit instead of doing some rapid fire quick game stuff just because you don't want to get Joe Burrow hurt at all.
Well, the thing with that, though, is I don't know if Trey Hopkins is going to play.
That's true as well.
So if you're going to put four of the five starters out there, I mean, center's most, in my opinion, most important in terms of the quarterback center exchange. I don't know. I think that if Trey Hopkins isn't going to play, then I don't think it makes sense for Joe Burrow to play if you're going to talk about them, you wanting to see the offensive line and him work together. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they say. Zach Taylor should give us an update on that later on this week. But that's definitely one of the main storylines. But man, I say it every year, the biggest win for a team in preseason is not who wins the games. It's how healthy you can stay in, man. You're just seeing every day it seems like one of these key starters is going down. Travis Etienne, just, you know, the Jaguars just putting him on injured reserve. So coming from the preseason injury he suffered last night. So at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. And I think Bengals fans, although it might be great to see him take three or four snaps on Sunday, if it means that Joe Burrow is ensured to be healthy come week one against the Vikings, I think everybody would prefer that, don't you think?
You know, I like that you mentioned AJ McCarron, because at one point he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Andy Dalton. It turned out the heir apparent to Andy Dalton was Joe Burrow. So from a lesson from one potential Andy Dalton heir apparent to Andy Dalton's actual successor in Joe Burrow, that's a good lesson. It's a good name to bring up.
Yeah. Wow. See, you're educating me on that kind of stuff. I didn't really know AJ McCarron was the heir apparent. So I think Bengals fans lucked out. Nothing against AJ McCarron, but man, is Joe Burrow the real deal? That's a big question that I had when I started here. Obviously, I watched the Bengals play a number of times last year, but when you're able to go to practice, you're able to see really if a player has the makings to be a franchise quarterback for a long time. And from what I've seen with Joe Burrow, I totally get why everybody has said this guy's the real deal. So Bengals fans are in luck from that standpoint. Well, that'll do it for Charlie and I so far on this podcast. We have a special guest who you'll be hearing from a lot this season if you're into betting and all of that fun stuff. Jason Hoffman is going to be joining us to give you his take, and Charlie and I will be back. We'll be breaking down the Bengals' third preseason game, the 53-man roster, and all of the fun stuff as we get you set for what should be hopefully an exciting Bengals season.
Kelsey, first off, welcome.
Thank you. So let's let you take it away here and help our listeners get up to speed on this whole new fad of betting that you know way more about than I do.
Yeah, thank you. So those of you who are unaware, sports betting is legal in a lot of places around the country right now, more than half the states. And USA Today has actually partnered, the USA Today network, of which Cincinnati.com and the Enquirer are a part of, has partnered now with Tipico Sportsbook for exclusive odds offerings. Tipico is live right now in New Jersey and Colorado, not yet in Indiana or Pennsylvania or Michigan, and Illinois, which all have legalized betting and are near here, and West Virginia. But that's who these odds are through. And again, anything that I say on here is not professional gambling advice. It is not meant to be taken that way. It is only for fun. I joke about you could make money, but if you follow me on Twitter at @jhoffandcincy, you'll see once in a while when I actually put real tickets up there what I do actually bet. But once again, not for actual gambling advice here. And if you do have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so let's start off with last night. Okay. I watched Jameis Winston.
Whew.
Absolutely cement his place as the number one quarterback for the New Orleans
Saints. I never bought that it was going to be Taysom Hill ever.
There are a lot of people that are like third and fourth on a depth chart that I would take over Taysom Hill right now just watching 100%. His preseason. But we're not here to talk about Taysom. We're here to talk about the other team that they played, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And whoo boy, as I like to call him, and you'll see this gag that I run on Twitter a lot, it gets Bearcats and Buckeyes fans really angry. Former Cincinnati Bearcat defensive back Urban Meyer coaches the Jacksonville Jaguars now. He did other things as a coach, but I remember him because I've seen a black and white picture of him during summer workouts with the Bearcats as a UC defensive back. So his team did not look great last night.
No,
by any
didn't.
Measure for anything. Travis Etienne is also reportedly out for the year, yeah. Trevor Lawrence looked not great. The offensive line looked really bad. The defense didn't even look good. So they're
so
right
what
now.
What you're saying is Jaguar fans might be in for it again this year.
So that's a one team win from a year ago, correct?
Yes.
They are currently sitting, again, Tipico Sportsbook futures, NFL futures, 6.5 over under on season win total. Oh boy, am I going to take that under.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time looking at that roster, knowing that Urban Meyer and his staff, first year in the NFL, you've been around the NFL for a while. You know how hard it is in that league. Them getting to 6 wins, even though they're in the dog crap AFC South, oof, I don't know. So I would say the under there is a pretty good bet. Another under that sounds low, but I think is really good, is also in the AFC South, Houston Texans. How are they winning at all?
I think the Houston Texans are going to finish worse than the Jaguars, by the way.
I don't see either of them having more than 3 wins. Hmm. So the under of 4.5 for Houston actually doesn't sound bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's another team that go find me outside of their division, go find me more than a win.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads to 3 for me. Now let's go a little more positive. Let's go an over. I'll tell you an over that I like. The Seattle Seahawks. So they play in what many people think is the toughest division of football, NFC West. I think the AFC North has an argument there, and possibly the AFC East if the Jets ever get better. But the NFC West is commonly considered the most difficult division in football.
Definitely this year.
Absolutely this year, especially with the depth of the rosters. Quarterback play maybe not so much once you get outside of the top two, my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sold on Kyler Murray at all, but
I think I'm not sleeping on the Cardinals, but continue.
Yeah. So anyways, NFL futures in the NFC West right now has over under win total set at 10.5 for the 49ers, 9.5 for the Seahawks. If you're someone like me who thinks the Seahawks win that division outright, I think I'm getting value at 9.5 because I'm getting that extra game lower than the 49ers, mm-hmm. who I think the Seahawks are better than. They're right. Definitely deeper. Definitely have better quarterback play.
Mm.
So I like that. I like the over of 9.5. I think they're maybe a 12, possibly 13 win team now with the 17 game schedule. I like that one a lot. And then Mr. Negative Nancy over here, I'll go one more under before we're done. Going to go to the second worst, probably worst division in football, the NFC East. That and the AFC South are just, whew. NFC East, there's a lot of low numbers in this. The Cowboys are sitting at 9.5. The Washington football team, which, by the way, is the name I think they should just keep. Just embrace it.
Oh, no. I disagree.
Yes. Call yourself the generic team.
We'll just add this segment in the next time's podcast.
Okay. We'll do that next. But the Philadelphia Eagles look like a very poorly coached team. A lot of drama last year. Do not look like they have a really good quarterback anywhere on the roster.
Nope.
And they're sitting there. Now, again, I know it's a bad division. They're sitting there at 6.5. You really think they're going to win 7 games this year? I don't.
No.
So I like the under there. Again, Jags under 6.5. I'd take that number probably if it was at 4. Houston 4.5. I'd take that at 4. Eagles, again, I mean, these teams sitting at 6.5. I like them at 4, not 6.5. And Seattle, I will take the over currently at 9.5 on Topico Sportsbook. I would go 10.5 on them. I'd still go over.
The only way the Philadelphia Eagles will win more than 6 games, in my opinion, is if somehow Deshaun Watson ends up their quarterback, which obviously we don't know if he's going to be able to play or what's the latest
on that.
I
was going to say, that's also assuming he gets to play this year.
Yes. But that's how unrealistic I think more than 6 wins
absolutely
would be. So I completely agree with you, and I would take that for sure.
And then I'm going to tease a little bit for the season preview. If you stay tuned for the degenerate section here for the this newly relaunched podcast, this Bengals Beat podcast, for the season preview podcast, I will have Bengals-specific NFL future prop bets. I will tell you where I think the best value is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to preview my AFC North prediction, which might surprise a lot of people. Again, this is all just off betting value. And I'm going to tell you the one way you can take $5 and turn it into $600 when the season starts.
I'm tuning in for that.
So, yeah, appreciate your time. And again, all these lines provided by Topico Sportsbook, which is a partner of the USA Today Sports Network.
Well, Charlie, I don't know about you, but that sure was a lot of fun listening to Jason break that stuff down. I'm definitely going to be tuning into that segment every week. But a great first episode. As we said, we are really looking forward to bringing you guys top to bottom coverage of the Bengals through the Bengals Beat podcast. So for our first of the revamped Bengals Beat podcast, I'm Kelsey Conway. And Charlie, I'll let you say what you want to say to close this thing out.
Revamped. I like that. Well, tuning out, revamped. This is Charlie Goldsmith. Goodbye.